The Storm in the Mountains, a Horrible Histories book by Terry Deary and Martin Brown. Read by Vienna Vicks. The Storm in the Mountains. Introduction to John Goddard, The True Blue. History can be horrible because people can be horrible. Well, most people can be horrible some of the time. Even you. And some people can be horrible most of the time. School bullies, school teachers, and school children who pull their wings off flies. What do you call a fly with no wings? I don't know. What do you call a fly with no wings? A rock. Hey, hey. Then there are people who are paid to be horrible and torture innocent humans. Tax collectors, traffic wardens, and school dinner ladies. Here's some kidney pie is good for you, so eat it and shut up. And soldiers. Soldiers can be horrible because it's their job to kill their enemy. If they didn't, the enemy would probably try to kill them. You can't go to war and behave like a gentleman, can you? After you, sir. No, no, I insist you have first chop. Some people in the past spent their whole lives fighting war, so you can imagine how vicious they became. People like the Normans had to be really nasty. The Storm and Normans were squidged into a corner of northern France and wanted to spread out, get more land. So they fought their way out, and it worked. Some Normans, like William the Conqueror, hardly ever lost a battle. How did he do it? By being nastier than his enemies. So you too can learn how to fight back with the help of a few lessons from the Storm and Normans. But be warned. You may become rich and successful, but you'll not be very popular. You'll be remembered in history with hatred. He's called me Horrible Helena. That's nothing. He's called me Stinkin' Stuart. You have been warned. Timeline. 911. Charles the Simple, King of France, gives land in northern France to the Viking Rollo and his people. Their nervous new neighbors call them Northmen. That becomes Norman, and finally Normans. Get it? You gave land to the Vikings? Are you simple? Yes. 1017. The Normans set off to conquer the south of Italy, and the Italians have invited them. They've asked the Normans in to keep out some other invaders. 1037. William of Normandy, aged 19, wins his first great battle at Valles-Dunes on the Norman border with France. Watch out for this teen terror. Will you invade us, please? We're having trouble with invaders. 1061. Normans begin their conquest of Sicily, but it will take them 30 years to complete because they're always outnumbered. This may take some time. 1066. William of Normandy defeats the English King Harold at the Battle of Hastings. He is crowned King of England and his Norman soldiers settle there. 1084. Germans attack Rome. Normans save the Pope and drive back the Germans. The Normans then raid Rome themselves. Well, why not? They'd saved it for a rainy day. How dare they threaten the Pope? Outrageous! Yeah, that's our job. 1085. William the Conqueror orders the Domesday Book, a survey of everything everyone in England owns, so he can have a share. Today's government still does that. A year later he dies and Norman William II takes the throne. This is my favorite book. What's it about? Things that are mine. 1095. Pope Urban II suggests that Christian knights should capture Jerusalem from the Muslims and give it to the Christian Church. Most of Europe agrees, but the Normans lead the way. Great excuse to fight with God on their side. We fight for God! We die for nothing. 1099. The Crusaders finally capture Jerusalem with God on their side. They massacre the Muslim men, women, and children they find there. 1100. The Normans who remain in Jerusalem carve out a new Norman kingdom in the Middle East and call it their Holy Land. Meanwhile, back in England, William II is killed in a hunting accident. Or was it murder? Brother Henry I takes over. Oops. 1119. Henry I's only son dies in a shipwreck. There will be a long and nasty scrap to decide who gets his throne when he dies, which he does in 1135. Henry I has chosen nephew Stephen to be the next king. Henry's daughter, Empress Matilda, says, "I'll fight you for the crown." The wars bring almost 20 years of misery to England. These times are known as the Anarchy. There will be utter chaos if you drown. Sorry. All right, there'll be utter anarchy if you drown. Make up your mind. 1153. War ends when Stephen agrees that Matilda's son can have the throne when he dies. A year later, Stephen keeps his promise and dies. Peace at last. 1154. Henry II of England is from Anjou, an area in France to the south of Normandy. The Norman lords in England are no longer calling themselves Normans, but English. I never liked the name Norman anyway. 1199. Big Bad John becomes King of England and Duke of Normandy, but he isn't nicknamed Lackland for nothing. 1,200 footer. French King Philip II takes Normandy. The Normans in England have to choose. Do they stay and become English, or join the French to keep their Norman lands but lose their English ones? Most stay in England. The Normans become English or French, but Norman no more. English or French, French or English. Poor man. He's only choosing mustard. Big Bad Bill. Of all the Normans, William of Normandy, 1028 to 1087, has to be the most famous, known to the world as William the Conqueror. Bill became Duke of Normandy at the age of 7 and had a scary childhood, always in danger of being murdered by people who wanted his land. He grew up tough enough not only to survive, but to be the first Norman to become a king when he conquered England. Grr. Terrible teen. Bill's first major battle was in 1037 at Val-es-Dune at the age of just 19. Historian William of Flanders said, "Young William was not scared at the sight of the enemy swords. He hurled himself at his enemies and terrified them with slaughter. Some of the enemy met their death on the field of battle, some were crushed and trampled in the rush to flee, and many horsemen were drowned as they tried to cross the River Erne. Splash, gurgle, push, shove, hack, chop." William later marched on the town of Alencon. The defenders barred its gates and then made fun of his mother's peasant family. They cried, leather for the leather worker's grandson." William was furious. When he eventually captured the town, he took 32 of the leading citizens of Alencon and paraded them in front of the townsfolk. Then he had their hands and feet cut off. "Come on, Bill, it was just a bit of fun." Mrs. Conqueror. William married Matilda in about 1052 and 1053. She was a tiny woman, about 127 centimeters, but tough and proved to be a loyal and clever wife. "She's my better half. Very funny." You have to sort the facts from the fiction about Matilda, though. French historians told the following story. William was visiting Count Baldwin V when he fell in love with his daughter Matilda. He asked if he could marry the girl, but Matilda herself refused. She sneered, "I'd never marry you." William secretly went to her house at night, where he beat her and kicked her. As the mauled Matilda lay battered on her bed, she changed her mind. She said, "I never marry anyone else but you." The story is probably not true. The Normans were trying to show that their women loved violent men, because that's what the men wanted to believe. Bill's last battle. William was back in France attacking the town of Mantes when he had his last illness. He'd had the town burned to the ground and, one story says, his horse was frightened by the shower of sparks. The horse stumbled, William slammed his stomach against the front of his saddle and burst his fat gut. He died 5 weeks later after suffering in agony. Before he died, he handed his crown and sword to his son, William Rufus. But the moment he died, the Norman lords panicked. With the conqueror dead, there could be rebellions in their hands. Roderick Vitalis, writing 50 years after the death, described what happened next. As soon as William died, the richest of the Norman lords mounted their horses and hurried off to defend their castles. The servants, seeing that their masters had disappeared, laid their hands on the weapons, the gold and silver plate, the rich cloth, and the royal furniture. The corpse of the king was left almost naked on the floor. The disappearing conqueror. William's body was eventually taken to Caen to be buried in the cathedral William had founded. The journey to the church was interrupted by a fire in the town. They dropped the body, fought the fire, then carried on. Later, the funeral service was interrupted by a local man who said, "The ground where you're burying William belongs to me. I want to be paid before you put him in the grave." He was paid. Then the clumsy undertakers tried to cram the fat body into a small stone coffin and bits fell off. The smell was so disgusting the bishop rushed through the burial service and everyone ran for it. "And may your soul enter the glorious kingdom of heaven and receive the merciful blessing of our most holy father," and I'm off. Rest in peace, William? No. Only until 1522. In that year, the curious Catholic Church had the tomb open to inspect the body. Rest in peace, William? No. Only until 1562. In that year, Protestants raided the church, broke open tombs, and scattered skeletons. All that was left was Will's thigh bone. That was reburied, and a fine monument was built. Rest in peace, William's thigh bone? No. Only until 1792, when the French Revolution mobs demolished his monument. Rest in peace, William? There the moment. A simple stone slab now marks the spot where he was buried. But what happened to that thigh bone? Some say the 1792 rioters threw it out. Some say it's still there. Perhaps someone should open the tomb again and find out. Over my dead body. Unlikely legends. Historians have a tough time trying to sort out the truth. They may come across stories in old scripts, but those stories could be untrue. Then in 1075, I went to the moon with the Pope. Here are a few tales from Norman days that may have some truth in them. One-star perkies, or maybe just legends. Five-star whacking, great fibs. What would you make of these tales? 1. Possible. 2. Possible, but a bit unlikely. 3. Maybe a grain of truth in it at a pinch. But I'm more of a fairy story than Cinderella. 5. Pull the other one. Norman nonsense. 1. William the Conqueror's dad, Duke Robert, met his mum, Herleave, while she was dancing in the road. He fell in love with her. Of course, this is quite possible, unlike today when dancing in the road would get you A. arrested, or B. flattened by a flying third fiesta. 2 stars. 2. Before William the Conqueror was born, his mother had a dream. She dreamed a tree was growing from her, and the shade of the tree covered Normandy and England, just as the sun that would grow from her would cast a shadow over Normandy and England. Get it? Nowadays, her doctor would tell her the bad dreams mean A. nothing, or B. she's been eating toasted cheese sandwiches before going to bed. 5 stars, which means pulled the other one. 3. William the Conqueror was tormented by enemies who said he was just the son of a tanner's daughter. A tanner turns animal skins into a leather. His grandfather, Fulbert, lived in Falaise, where there were a lot of leather makers, so it is possible. But another story says Fulbert had the charming job of preparing corpses for burial, tidying them up and dressing them. I think you'll look fabulous in a blue tunic and brown leggings. William would have liked that because A, it's a steady job, and B, William could go out and kill enough people to keep Grandpa Rush off his feet. 1 star, which is possible. There, Rollo the Viking was offered the land of Normandy by Charles the Simple in 910. Let's make a deal, Charles said simply. You Vikings can simply have Normandy, but I simply insist on being your king. You must simply do homage to me. To show you accept me as king, you must simply kiss my foot. Rollo didn't fancy that much, would you? So he sent one of his soldiers to kiss Charlie's foot. The soldier didn't want to grovel, so he grasped the king's foot and lifted it up to his lips. Of course, this tipped Charles the Simple's throne back, and he was simply thrown to the ground. Vulgar! Veruca! Big laughs for Rollo, who was probably A, rolling with laughter, or B, rolloing with laughter. 3 stars, which is maybe a grain of truth in it at a pinch. 5. William the Conqueror was just a teenage duke when he was visiting the castle of one of his lords. He was tipped off that the lord planned to kill him. William escaped from the castle in darkness, rode for 16 hours through the night, and came to the wide estuary of the Vire River. He was able to cross it because the tide was out, very lucky, and reached the castle of a friend before he could be caught. He was lucky that A, his horse didn't stumble on dark, uneven roads and break 2 nets. Necks and 6 legs, William's and the horse's, if you hadn't worked it out, dummy, or B, he didn't get stopped for speeding by policemen with radar guns. 2 stars, which equals possible but a bit unlikely. 6. In 1064, Harold Godwinson of Vinland was the man most likely to take the English throne when Edward the Confessor died, which he did in 1066. The story goes that Harold was crossing the English Channel when a ship was caught in a storm. Harold was recognized and taken to William of Normandy, who also fancied himself as King of England when old Ed kicked the bucket. Harold had to promise he would let William become king when Ed died. William set him free, and Harold broke his promise in 1066. But is the story true? Would Harold really give away his kingdom? You can have my kingdom. You can also have a flying pig, a blue elephant, and a trip to Planet Ping Pong. This is a story told by Norman historians who want to show that A, Harold was a rotten cheat who broke his promises, and B, William was the rightful king of England. He wasn't William the Conqueror in 1066. He was William the I've just popped over the channel to take what is rightfully mine, old chap. Which is, it's 1 star, which is possible. Odd English. If the Normans had some strange beliefs, the English people had some stories that were even stranger. 1. In 1080, a man called Edulf died in the village of Ravensworth in northern England. His relatives came to watch over the corpse, but they were shocked when Edulf sat up and said, "Don't be afraid, I've risen from the dead. Make the sign of the cross on yourselves and on the house." When they'd done that, the house was filled with birds that flew in everyone's faces till a priest sprinkled them with holy water. Edulf said, "I've visited hell, where I've seen the wicked tortured, and heaven, where I've seen a few old friends." He also learned, "I've seen places being prepared in hell for some living people. One of them was Waltheof, English Earl of Northumberland. The ensuite pit of damnation goes over there." Shortly after this, Waltheof began the only English leader to be executed by William the Conqueror. Weird or wacky? 5 stars, which is pull the other one. Two. An English rebel, Edric the Wild, tried to make trouble for William the Conqueror in 1067. This Edric went out for a stroll after dinner one evening and came across a group of fairies dancing. Edric fell in love with one of these little ladies and married her. When Edric was defeated, William the Conqueror ordered that this fairy wife should be brought to court so he could meet her. What on earth would Big Bullying Bill say to a fairy? "Lend us your wand?" 5 stars, which is, pull the other one. 3. King Harold was slaughtered at the Battle of Hastings You've got to think about small women, haven't you? 3. King Harold was slaughtered at the Battle of Hastings in 1066, but the English told the story that he survived the battle buried under a pile of bodies. A peasant woman found him and nursed him back to health. He hid in a cellar in Winchester for 2 years before leading attacks on the hated Normans. In time, he got religion and became Harold the Hermit. Many English would love to believe their last great hero survived. Dream on, just a little more possible than fairies. Fair Stars, which is more of a fairy story than Cinderella. Painful Poisoners. The Norman historians had a thing about poison. If someone died suddenly, then they said, it could well have been poison. Here are a few curious cases for you to judge, Sherlock. 1. William the Conqueror invited Count Conan of Brittany to join him in the conquest of England in 1066. Count Conan said, no, I won't go because you Normans poisoned my father 26 years ago. The story goes that William decided to settle Conan and got one of Conan's lords to take the Count's hunting horn and gloves. These were smeared with poison. When Count Conan went hunting, he wiped his mouth with a poisoned glove and died. He was really out for the Count. Countdown. Was William really guilty of this murder? Possibly, though Conan died 2 months after the Normans landed at Hastings. It's a lesson to us all. A. Don't wipe your mouth on the back of your glove, or B. Get your teacher to taste your gloves before you put them on. 2. In 1060, Robert of Gier came to a nasty and suspicious end. Norman historian Erderic wrote, one day Robert was sitting happily by the fire and watched his wife holding 4 apples in her hand. He playfully snatched 2 from her and didn't realize that they were poisoned. He ate them though his wife told him not to. The poison took effect, and after 5 days, he died. Again, it's possible that he was poisoned. And another lesson, A, do what your wife tells you, or B, don't snatch food from someone else's hand, especially if you don't know when they last washed that hand. 3. Lady Mabel of Belem plotted to poison her husband's enemy, Arnold of Echauffer, who was visiting them. She placed a poisoned goblet of wine on the table and waited. Unfortunately, her brother-in-law, Gilbert, came in sweaty and hot from hunting. He cried, by God, I'm thirsty! Snatched up the poisoned cup and swallowed the lot. By God, that's strong stuff. He died. Now, if you'd been Mabel, you'd have given up, wouldn't you? Not her. She bribed one of enemy Arnold's servants to put poison in his food, which he did. Arnold died. Second time lucky. A lesson there, A. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Or B. Don't take wine from Mabel's table. Or read the label if you're able. 4. Lady Mabel then survived a poisoned plot against herself. The monks of St. Everil were followed up with her visiting them with dozens of servants to eat all their best food. Do not return or you will suffer something extremely unpleasant. Next time I come back, I'll have twice as many servants, slaphead. She returned and ate and fell ill. She ordered that her baby be brought to her for feeding. She let the baby suck milk at her breasts. The baby died from poison in his mother's body. And Mabel, she survived. A lesson for us all. A. Don't go where you're not wanted. And B. Don't have a murdering meanie like Mabel for a mother. 5. William the Conqueror's dad, Robert, became Duke of Normandy only after his older brother, Richard, died suddenly. Many people believe that William started poisoning his uncle in order to get his hands on Normandy. If Robert was poisoned a few years later, and some say he was, then he must have died thinking, so that is what my brother felt like when I... bang. The lesson seems to be, never trust any Norman who offers you food or drink. Of course, Norman cooks weren't too fussy about washing their hands after using the oil or picking their scabs or petting a dog. They didn't know about germs and hygiene. A lot of people in those days must have died from germs in their food that gave them food poisoning. Yuck. Imagine someone poisoning your food. 1066 and all this. 1066 was a funny old year. It saw 3 kings in England and 3 great battles. And if the year 1066 had kept its own diary, 1. To be honest, there is a diary that was kept by monks called the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, but it's got lots of boring bits. It would have been packed with horrible history. January 1st. Happy New Year, everyone in England. Edward the Confessor is king of England, but he's a poorly man. Old Ed has no children, and no one's very sure about who will get the throne when he dies. There are a lot of English people who are nervous about the coming year. Harold Godwin's in for one. He's the most powerful lord in England. He practically rules the south for Edward the Confessor, while his brother Tostig Godwinson rules the north. Harold is a tough nut. For years the Welsh had been a problem until Edward the Confessor sent Harold off to sort them out in 1063. Here's what happened. The fighting was vicious. The Welsh sent Harold severed heads to show they took no prisoners. Harold didn't mind playing by those rules. A Welsh prisoner, execute him. The Welsh were so bad they turned against their own leader, Gruffydd, and begged Harold for peace. He told them, you can have peace when you bring me the head of Gruffydd. The Welsh leader was caught in the wilds of Snowdonia, where his countrymen carried out Harold's wishes.
You don't want my head, Boils.
No, Boyle, but Harold is sorry and all that. And Harold passed a new law. Any Welshman caught carrying a weapon in England would have his hand chopped off. But it was just my walking stick. Dangerous things, walking sticks. So Harold is a great warrior, and the English army is in pretty good shape. I have a feeling it will need to be. January 5th. Edward the Confessor died. I told you he was pearly, didn't I? You don't get much more pearly than that. January 6th. Edward was buried today. That's a bit quick. His body can hardly be cold. And Harold Godwinson is crowned king. He didn't hang around, did he? It will all end in tears, you mark my words. February. That William of Normandy is upset. He sent some of his lords over to England with a message for King Harold. The message says, 1. 2 years ago, you promised that I would be king of England when Edward the Confessor died. 2. We also agreed that your sister would marry my son while you married my sister. Harold's reply is brief and to the point. Dear William, Edward the Confessor left the throne of England to me on his deathbed. We must respect the wishes of a dying man. As for exchanging sisters, I regret that I am now married to Ealdbury. And I regret even more that my sister cannot marry your son since she has died. Perhaps you'd like me to send her corpse across to Normandy? Harold, King of England. I have heard that William has started building 2,000 ships to invade England. There'll be trouble now. April 23rd. Amazing, fantastic, and spooky. A comet has appeared in the skies over England. It's like a brilliant star with a tail. We all know it's a sign of a great disaster. The trouble is no one knows who will suffer the disaster. The English or the Normans. The English lords are telling Harold he should invade Normandy and put a stop to wicked William's plans, but he won't do it. When William sets sail, we'll just sink his ships. We have a strong navy. Easy. May, would you believe it? An invasion on the south coast and the navy was away in the north. Were the invaders sent by that William of Normandy? No, they were led by Harold's own brother, treacherous Tostig. As soon as Harold marched from London to fight him, Tostig jumped in his boat and sailed away. They reckon he's doing a deal with a Viking they call Hardrada, hard ruler, for the two of them to attack the north of England. Poor Harold won't know if he's coming or going, but he will know who his friends are, and they don't include wicked William, terrible Hardrada, or terrible Tostig. August. Still no sign of those Normans. Some say they're waiting for the right wind to carry their ships over the channel. September 8th. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Harold's army couldn't wait on the south coast forever. They've had to go home to help with the harvest. But the navy's been sent to London, and some terrible storms have wrecked a lot of them. I hope that wicked William doesn't decide to come now. They say William has a lot of ships in the same storms. Norman bodies were washed ashore, and he had them buried secretly so the rest of the troops wouldn't be upset. Wimps. They'll never beat heroic Harold, even if they do get across the channel. September 20th. Hardrada is here. He landed in Yorkshire and drew first blood. When I say blood, I mean blood. Our Harold wasn't there, so Hardrada attacked his earls. The English were driven into the marshes at Fulford, near York, and slaughtered. There were so many bodies, the Vikings were able to cross the marsh by stepping on corpses like stepping stones.